From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Claire Strempel with a local and statewide news update. Juneau's three incumbent Democratic state legislators are all running for re-election, and only one has an opponent. Local political officials on both sides of the aisle shared some of their theories about what's going on. KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports.
The deadline for candidates to file to run in the August primary was June 1st. Senator Jesse Keel and Representative Andy Story are unopposed. Representative Sarah Hannon drew one opponent, Daryl Harmon. Harmon's party affiliation is undeclared. Harmon could not immediately be reached for comment. Until recently, Harmon's Facebook page had many public posts espousing COVID-19 misinformation, sympathies for Russia's invasion of Ukraine, and disparaging Democrats and medical authorities. Also, a lot of apolitical do-it-yourself videos. The incumbent, Sarah Hannon, says they've never been in touch, either as an opponent, a constituent, or otherwise. She doesn't recall ever meeting him.
So I truly know nothing about him except for his name.
Hannon, who's a retired public school teacher, is seeking a third term.
The job takes longer to get up on step than I thought it would, you know, and going into my third term, I finally, you know, I feel like I've done some good work in the 4 years I've been in, but nowhere near through the to-do list of things that I wanted to see happen and make change.
She says she understands why there aren't many candidates for the job.
I think that it's pretty unattractive from the social-emotional kind of side of it, you know, the vitriol.
Likewise, she says she was struck by how many of her colleagues are not seeking re-election. She thinks it was easier for legislators to tough it out when the state had more money to work with.
You know, in the days when Alaska had money and you could deliver pork projects home to your district, there's more traction and you're willing to tolerate more chaos and ugliness.
Marie Walsh chairs the Republican Party's precinct that corresponds to Hannon's recently redrawn House District 4. It covers downtown Juneau, Douglas Island, Lemon Creek, and parts of the Mineral Valley. Walsh says he didn't hear from any potential Republican candidates in either of Juneau's House districts.
The primary reason is the knowledge that the Democrats have been successful election after election in both districts, and the registration and everything. I mean, it's just strongly Democrat town, and there's just no getting around it.
In the 2020 presidential election, Democrat Joe Biden beat Republican Donald Trump in both of Juneau's House districts. In Hannon's old district, Biden got more than twice as many votes as Trump.
I could hope someone rises up, and if they do, if they're willing to wear the Republican mantle, we will do our best to help them out.
That hypothetical candidate would have to run as a write-in candidate in the November general election. Alaska's new election system doesn't allow write-ins in primaries. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
Gas prices have been steadily increasing for months. Alaskans filling up at the pump today are paying around $2 more per gallon than this time last year, and there's no clear end in sight. Alaska Public Media's Kavitha George visited a gas station in Anchorage recently and talked to Alaskans who are rethinking their driving habits this summer.
Daryl Sample is watching the gas meter tick steadily upward as he fills his Mercedes sedan at a Chevron in East Anchorage.
I have about a quarter of a tank, and right now $50, I only have about 9 gallons at $50. So it is hurting. It is hurting. It's hit me in my wallet more so than what I would prefer to.
Last summer, Sample says he'd fill up once a week. This summer, he's trying to wait 2 or 3 weeks before hitting the gas station. Gas prices in Anchorage have jumped from a little over $3 a gallon to more than $5 in the last year. At the Chevron today, a gallon of regular unleaded is $5.50. Across the street at the Holiday, it's $5.30. The Anchorage Daily News reported prices upward of $10 in rural communities last month. Sample says it's changed how he thinks about driving these days.
I actually would have been more frequently visiting friends or taking more trips, whether it be to the store or to somewhere that I can enjoy in Anchorage or outside of Anchorage.
A few stalls over, Sam Campbell is filling up his Toyota pickup truck, which is towing a skiff on a trailer. He says the jump in gas prices means he'll be fishing closer to home this year.
Pretty much all the rivers out of South Central I probably won't travel to this year where I otherwise would have. Yeah, between filling the truck and filling the boat, it's pretty expensive to go very far.
Longtime oil industry observer Larry Persily says the recent spike can be ascribed to the Russian invasion of Ukraine, which threw uncertainty into the market and lowered the overall supply of crude oil as countries around the world moved to ban Russian oil.
It's tightened the supply, made people nervous, made markets nervous, and has dropped prices higher.
But prices were increasing even before the war, and Persily says that's because of long-term production snags caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. Refining capacity dropped in the U.S. over the last few years, and it hasn't caught up to this summer's increased demand.
We just don't have the ability in this country to make as much fuel. We just don't have as many refineries pumping out as many barrels. So high oil prices, constrained supply from refineries, growing demand. It's just expensive for gasoline.
The high price of gas, diesel, and jet fuel are driving inflation, Persily says, since those extra costs get passed down the supply chain all the way to the groceries and other goods you buy at the store. So what brings prices back down? Persily says it's a straightforward combination of decreased consumption and increased supply.
Russia stopping its war on Ukraine and coming back into the good graces of the rest of the world and selling its oil, that could lower the prices.
Or other global suppliers could ramp up production. Any solution, Persily notes, will take time. In the meantime, federal data show gas prices may have increased to a point that consumer demand has actually gone down. Demand for gas nationwide is down roughly 5% from last summer. Sample at the Chevron says he's not worried about how he'll manage if prices stay high.
No, I got a bike, so I'm determined not to let this beat me. I can get more exercise in, lose some more weight, and manage my travel.
Today, he's only filling half a tank, which he says he'll try to stretch as long as he can. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Kavitha George.
Anchorage Assembly members voted Wednesday night to postpone a decision on whether to add to city code a set of procedures. These procedures would allow for the removal of a mayor for breaching the public trust. The Assembly will take the ordinance up again at their meeting on Tuesday. The decision to delay followed nearly 5 hours of public testimony, with almost all speakers opposing the ordinance. Their testimony was marked by frequent interruptions from the crowd of more than 100, including applause and cheers. At one point, opponents started singing the national anthem. Security removed two people for yelling. Many people testifying underscored their support for Mayor Dave Bronson, who has strongly opposed the ordinance. And many, like South Anchorage resident Eric Lambertson, also expressed their anger with the Progressive Assembly majority.
You have absolutely been pathetic. You're pathetic, and you need to go. And I have 1 minute left. If I can make one thing clear to you, I don't like you.
Speakers also accused the Assembly of breaching the separation of powers between the legislative and executive branches. And they accused proponents of the proposal of stoking divisions within the community. Some said the ordinance is written too broadly. It allows for impeachment for things like accepting bribes, lying under oath, and official oppression. Bayshore Community Council President Dave Weir pointed out that there is already a law that sets out how a mayor can be removed.
There's already a procedure in place to remove the mayor. It's called a recall. If anyone on the assembly thinks the mayor has done anything wrong, they can follow that process to remove him. The people voted the mayor in, and the people should be the one to decide if he needs to be removed.
Mayor Bronson and assembly members have repeatedly clashed since the mayor took office last summer. But downtown assembly member Chris Constant, who authored the new ordinance, has argued his proposal isn't intended to remove the mayor. He says it wouldn't apply to breaches of public trust that happened before the ordinance was passed. Constant said it's designed to set the same bar for the assembly to remove the mayor that already exists for the assembly to remove fellow assembly members and school board members. In an 8-3 vote, the assembly voted to postpone its decision. And if you're on the road system this weekend, a stretch of the Richardson Highway has been closed since this morning because of a damaged drainage culvert near Paxton. Department of Transportation is working on repairs. You're listening to KTOO.